Come on now. Good afternoon. Well, there's more of you here than I thought would be this afternoon at 2. I left here last Sunday and flew to San Antonio, rented a car, and drove to Austin, Texas. Attended meetings and spoke there last Thursday. Got in that same rental car, drove back to San Antonio, spent the night there, got on the plane this past Thursday, and flew back here. Ripped and ran all day yesterday to be sure we were ready for this morning. I'm so proud of you. If you could have seen the faces of the community as they listened to our choir sing this morning. Patriotic songs, as Adventists demonstrated that we love our country too. And then to see Shay and Robert. Robert still got on his, he was, stand up, this is James White. He marched as James White. There they are. That's James and Ellen. James and Ellen. Warfield said James Brown and Ellen White. They marched as the founding couple. So proud of them. And then, of course, our ladies gave out water all around. It was a great day for TPC. Somebody say amen. Amen. Pastor's proud. And I want to thank all of those who worked and so forth to make those things happen. Now, let's just take a moment in God's Word in this abbreviated service. Shall we bow? Father, now, there is a word from heaven. Give it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week in my first sermon, Lessons from Charleston, in the wake of those tragic events, I spoke then about two facets that we can learn from the Emmanuel AME Church, that sorrowing congregation. The first thing we pointed out last week was the attempt on the part of Satan to paint the word and worship and fellowship as something weak and ineffective. Remember that last week? A man, young man, 21 years old, sat through word and worship and prayer and fellowship, and then calmly arose at the end. Having experienced word, prayer, fellowship, and shot 9 people. And we said that Satan was seeking to make us feel that these elements, Sonia Walters, that we take so for granted, that they're ineffective, but we pointed out that God, in the midst of that confusion, had a lesson. Do you recall the lesson? We learned from that study that God was showing us that just experiencing the word and sitting through prayer and having fellowship is not sufficient if you don't have a heart that has come ready to receive. You remember that? Oh, we talked about it. We talked about it. We talked about the danger of committing the sin against the Holy Ghost, where you become so, and we said without apology that many of us have some dialing roof in us. We said that when you can sit, come on somebody, we said it last week, that when you can sit in a sermon, in a worship, and the word go up one side of you and down the other, and you leave unchanged, you're no better than dialing roof. Remember we said that? I need somebody to say amen then. Yes. We talked about that, and we were disturbed by it. We were troubled by it. But then we raised a question that must be answered today. Given the embedded iniquity of this young man, given his practiced resistance to the Holy Ghost, given the fact that he had become so immune to God that he could sit for an hour in word and worship and prayer and still kill. We said, given that, why would God allow such evilness to destroy nine good people? Remember we raised that question? That's the sole purpose of the sermon today. We got to deal with that. We must raise that issue and find an answer. If I asked all of those who came to church today, did you come fearing for your safety in this building today? The truth is, you didn't, did you? In fact, most of us would have to admit that we seldom, if ever, have gone to church afraid that something would happen. Am I telling the truth? Yes, we know that Christian churches and mosques and other places of worship are sometimes vandalized and robbed, and even recently now, churches being burned. We know these things happen. There have been shootings in churches, even member against member. We've heard about these kinds of things. But on the average, Anwar, when I walk in Tacoma Park Church on Sabbath, I have no concern about something happening to me. We just take for granted. Is anybody listening to me? That we're going to be just fine. As we have celebrated the nation's birthday today, and freedom of religion according to the dictates of one's conscience is one of the foundation stones of this nation. It's a stone of strength for us that was established right out of our history. Puritans fled from England and established a refuge in Massachusetts where they could worship, and Baptists established Rhode Island, and Quakers came to Pennsylvania, and Catholics came to Maryland, all to establish havens to worship as they please. Other groups follow. The right to worship, freedom of religion, that's a cornerstone of our nation. We don't worry about going to church and being safe, do we? So what does it have to do with Charleston, South Carolina in 2015? You see, long before, you're getting your Bibles ready, long before there were Baptists and Catholics and Puritans and Presbyterians and Methodists and Adventists, when there was just the Christian faith, the founder of our faith. Who did I say? Turn to somebody and say the founder. The founder. Fabian, the person who started this, he had words for us. You're in your Bibles now, Matthew 5 and verse 10. Jesus said, just a minute, let me give you a word from the founder as to what you might expect. Matthew 5, and verse 10. Here it is. Blessed are they. Do you see that text? Blessed are they which are what? Come on, say the word. Persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is what? No, wait now. You just ran by that way too fast. Blessed are those. Now, Elder Ortega, if I take this and turn it around, it's saying to me, you can't claim heaven till you've been persecuted. Yeah, I will. I surely will. The Bible is clear. You cannot expect to walk into the kingdom of glory until you've got some stripes on your back. This is the founder talking. And then he has the nerve to say, blessed. Or we would say today, and the natural rendering is, happy. Happy. Happy is the person who gets knocked upside the head for the truth's sake. That person has claimed heaven. Amen. Y'all weak today. Amen. I don't hear no enthusiasm in those amens. Because you're trying to wrestle with that text. You're hoping God didn't quite mean what he said, but he said it, and then he does not stop. Look at 10, Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall what? Are you getting a pattern here? Yeah. Sounds to me like there's something inherent in being a Christian. And maybe one of the lessons crawling up out of Charleston is God wants to remind his people this never was supposed to be a cakewalk. Maybe God's disturbed because we've gotten way too comfortable, way too complacent. And we just think that being a Christian is a thing that just moves along. But Jesus is saying, hey, didn't I tell you? For my sake, you'll be hated. For my sake, look at verse 39 of chapter 10 of Matthew. What? Look at this text. He that findeth, verse 39, Matthew 10, read it. He that findeth his life shall. Don't keep reading. You ain't got this yet. He that findeth his life shall what? This is in the Bible. We dressing up on Sabbath just as content, nice shirt and tie and shoes and car, dropping in church at our convenience. And God has said, hey, just a minute here. If you have found life in me, it means losing the life in you. So Jesus is saying, what do you all think is going on here? Now, do not think that I failed to grasp what happened in Charleston. I know that race was the key. I know that dial and roof, the victims had to be black, but many are upset that it happened in church. The mayor said, unthinkable. And then he said with passion, they were praying, he said. Studying God's word, he said. You could hear the tremor in his voice. All I'm saying to you today is that injustice to Christians is a part of the package of being a Christian. I'm going to take it further. If it's going too easy, maybe there's something wrong with the quality of your Christianity. Needs to be said. Because if you're really standing, I need somebody to say standing. Standing! If you're really standing, looks like every now and then you ought to disturb somebody. Somebody on your job, somebody in your family, somebody in your... So if you're really living, you ought to upset somebody sometime. I read the text. I didn't write this text, did you? He said, hate it. Now, I know that Christians teach, oh yeah, we teach, Jesus taught, love everybody. But notice, nowhere does he teach everybody's going to love you. You won't find that text in the Bible. It tells you to love. But he says, your love may stir up people against you. We're reading God's word. So our key text. All they that live godly. Come on, let's say it. Put it up there. Yes, there it is. Come on. Yes. Let's read like it's up there. Yes. I need to hear a yes. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute. What's the word before suffer? Didn't say may. Will. So that sounds to me, Richard Gordon, like the Bible saying, if you have a rough day one day, you sort of say, oh, that's a normal day for a Christian. Will not be any weeping and crying and boo-hooing and acting like the world's falling apart. How was your day? Good day for a Christian. Had a normal day, doing right, got kicked, doing right, wasn't liked. Normal day. Thank you, Lord, for a normal day. Yeah. So, Charleston is crying out. In fact, I love the way Peter puts it. Let's go to Peter. Peter says, I got to say something right now because they're not getting it. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20. I love this text. This is something. 1 Peter 2:20, can't wait on you. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? Peter says, if you're getting in trouble because you've done wrong, that's nothing to talk about. You're just getting your due. Now watch. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So Peter said, I don't want to hear anything about you got in trouble because you're smoking. You got in trouble because you're running around. Don't even talk about that. That's just the right payoff. But, Peter said, if you're doing right and living right and going right and talking right and thinking right and eating right and you catch it, hey, I want to hear a testimony. Then you can say something in church, but if your trouble comes from your sin, just be quiet. We'll pray for you. Don't say nothing, though. We don't want you to take out of our time with that. You're just earning your pay. But if you're doing right and the whole world falls apart around you, then stand up and say, I got a God in heaven who will see me through. Yeah. Now, for those of you visiting today, our theme for the year is I serve. First quarter, we talked about design to serve. Second quarter, we talked about born to serve. But this quarter, we're talking about risking to serve. 9 decent people, as far as we know, we can't judge them, went to a prayer meeting. We have prayer meeting here every Wednesday night. Bible study. 9 decent folks. Now, they probably have done this more times than they can count. They went to the church where they worship each weekend. Maybe some of those 9 were baptized there, married there, perhaps dedicated their children there, maybe involved in some ministry there, all 9. What's the risk? I doubt that Wednesday evening, June 17, that any of them called their lawyer before they went to prayer meeting to make sure their house was in order. I doubt it. None of them called their spouse or their parents or their children to give a special farewell. Going to prayer meeting. Hope I'll see you again. I doubt any of them did that. There were no special security arrangements made for the prayer meeting, June 17. They made no special preparation. They just went. And Dr. Deshaies, I kept thinking. I walk in this church Wednesday night, walk right through that door. Folks sitting there, we have prayer meeting. It's never crossed my mind, not in my wildest imagination, that I won't walk out. Never crossed my mind. Let me tell you what did happen before prayer meeting for them. They, like most people sitting in this room, allowed the consciousness, stay with the pastor, they allowed the consciousness to slip from their minds that we are in a war. See, Adventists always walk around talking about the great controversy. Therefore, you know, Adventists, we lose a lot of phrases. We don't bit more than what we talk about in the man in the moon. Oh, child, you know, we're in the great controversy. Do you know what that means? That means you're in a war.
Yes.
Now, the last war story I read, the last war movie I looked at, folks die in battle. How come y'all didn't say amen? I mean, you believe in you're in the great controversy, don't you? And you know, here's the thing that made me smile. You know, there ain't no danger in coming to prayer meeting. Folks don't come. Ain't no danger in coming. They don't come. Would you come if you knew? I mean, you ain't coming in safe. And no danger, to no threat, you ain't coming. What would you do if you knew walking in church on Sabbath would cost you your life? Now, you sitting there calm, folks, but Bob, I've been in countries where Adventists do that every Sabbath. I've preached to them. I've preached in countries where there are agents of the government sitting in the pews with the members listening to see what the Christian minister will say. And the church is packed. Packed. That's right, Jacob. He's listening to his pastor. Packed. Packed. They run. They get up, put their Bibles on. They're walking to churches where there's no sign. The country is so against them, they can't put a sign on their church, but they go, put on their stuff, take their Bible. Come on, somebody. I need somebody to say amen. Walk to church! I've preached to people like that. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels and prevailed not. And the dragon and his angels were cast out, for there was no more room for them in heaven. Are you listening to me? This is the real world. We were at about 9 folks, ladies and gentlemen, every blood-bought Christian who's ever named the name of Jesus Christ is the object of Satan's wrath. That's the real world. And we ought not be surprised. We ought not be shocked. If anybody, 70 Adventist people should have said, child, it's the way of the world. All they that live godly, maybe they were surprised. We should not have been surprised if we believe these prophecies we've been preaching for 160 years. This is just the norm. We ain't seen nothing yet. All upset and bent out of shape. What you talking about? The Bible done already told. The Bible has said he has great wrath. The Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. These are texts in the Bible. We mouth this stuff and say amen to this stuff and then fall apart when we see the reality of it. You don't know how much you believe in church. You don't know how much you love the Lord until you have to go to church and put your life on the line. I baptized people in Mississippi that were put out of their homes. They could not go back home after I put them in the water. Young people who had the courage to stand for Christ. We had to take them home ourselves and put them in our beds. That's the real world. This is not new. I'm not trying to minimize those 9 people. This is the norm. There are places right now where I'm standing here and preaching. There are people putting their life on the line to go to church. We come sauntering in. If it doesn't inconvenience our schedule. Don't let me have a headache. I go see the man from Monday to Friday. Headache, feet ache, back ache, ache. Come Sabbath morning, well, you know, I just had a rough week and it just... Lord understands. Yes, he sure does. He really does understand. He doesn't understand what you understand. Religion has become a convenience. If it doesn't get in my way, if I don't have to adjust my schedule, if I don't have to do what I don't want, then I'll go. Hey! There are millions of Christians, thousands of Christians who spit on you saying, "What you mean? I get up every day, and just being a Christian in my country costs me something. How dare you complain? The service is too long. I don't like the music and don't like the choir and don't like this. How dare those people spit upon you?" There's a loud cry from Charleston, South Carolina. God is crying out to his people, "Did you forget what I called you to? Did you forget the reality of being a Christian? Have you lost your mind? Don't you know this is the way of it? All they that live godly shall suffer persecution." We're so spoiled in this country that we've forgotten there are still countries in the world where being a Christian can cause beating. Loss of family support, imprisonment, abandonment, and yes, death. James 1, 2, and 3, let's close it out. James 1, 2, and 3. I don't see any need to just dwell on this. Either we got it or we don't. James 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, you see the text? Come on, let's read. Come on. My brethren. Now, let's pause. See, it's interesting how the early Christians thought. See, Jesus said the same ridiculous thing. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. If you just stop at rejoice. It says rejoice. Oh, I got that part. That's rough enough. Oh, and all right, got to do more and rejoice. Be exceeding glad. Let's be honest, folks. I ain't there yet. I'll let you be pious. I'm not there. If I can squeeze out a rejoice, I'm doing good. Forget that exceeding glad part. Here comes James, rubbing it in. Let's read it again. My brethren, do what? No. You ain't ready to go forward yet. Count it all joy. Smile about it. Lost my job for the Sabbath. Thank you, Lord. Car broke down. Flat tires ain't got no money. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Ain't got no money to pay my rent. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Come on, y'all. See, this stuff has got to get real. My kids ain't got no sense. My spouse ain't got no sense. Hallelujah! God is good. Let's read the text again. Come on. My brethren, do what? Read on. When you fall into various trials. Read on. Knowing. Does what? Hey! You begin to get something within. And just when the devil thinks he's got you, you sitting there calm, you humming, you whistling, you praising God, reading text. He thought he had you, but you done found something that nobody else has except they have Jesus. Now when people cry, you say thank God. When people complain, you say hallelujah. You done gone to another plane of Christian life. Somebody say amen out there. Count it all joy. I'm going to develop patience in you. And just when the devil thinks he's got you rocking back and forth and thinks he's got you worried, you getting on up on Sabbath morning, ain't got no car, walking, taking the bus, getting on that crazy metro, hope it gets there, yes, sir. But I'm going to church. Ain't got no rent money, ain't got no food money, but I'm turning in my tithe because I know I serve a God who's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. Hey, hey! works patience. That means you baffle the devil. Grinning when you ought to be crying. Stepping when you ought to be laying down. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. How about you, brother? I want to be that kind of, that makes the devil, makes him go crazy. I thought I had him. He's in church. He's praying yet. Over in Revelation 13, the Bible describes a great power that will rise up against God's people. It says in verse 5, and he opened his mouth, this great power, in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and them that dwell in the, and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7, it was given him to make war with what? Come on, y'all, with what? With the saints. Are you a saint? That was weak. Are you a saint? Yeah, you better be a saint. And to overcome them. Now notice it says, notice I say, to make war and to overcome them. The Greek says, and to try. Oh, y'all missed that. Yeah, yeah. He's going to make war. He's going to try to overcome us. But you can't overcome me. No. You can't overcome me because I've got Jesus in me. I have found a new path to walk and a new way to be. So you can try. That's why it gets rough sometimes because he's trying. That's why sometimes nothing. Have you ever had a week where nothing goes right? He's trying. He's trying. That week when your kids start acting like you, he's trying to get to you. But because you found a connection in Jesus Christ, he fails every time. And because he fails every time, you are standing as a witness to the power of God. It says in Revelation, he's not even going to let them buy and sell. That's not going to bother the Adventists. Most of us ain't got no money to buy nothing, no how. When I read that text, I said, that ain't gonna be no problem for me. You're gonna keep folk from buying and selling. That's gonna go right over my head. Ain't got no money to buy nothing. The message from South Carolina is clear. What happened to those nine is normal. Did I say it? Robert, did you get it? Let's stop making a big fuss about it. Let's pray for their families. But what happened to those nine? It's normal. All they that live godly shall suffer. But the trying of your faith, that text does me some good. Worketh patience. Are you ready? Are you ready for the battle? Do you understand the pastor's sermon today? Bow your head. Your head. Have me a little card somewhere. Can't find my card. Let's pray. Father, there's a loud lesson coming from Charleston, South Carolina. I don't want to hear that lesson, really. I'd like to ignore it. It pulls me back to some realities I'd like to forget about. I've been gliding along pretty good as a Christian. Don't have a lot of problems. And now you're going to tell me that problems are the norm? Persecution goes with the package. You're going to tell me I should not complain? You're going to tell me this is how you're shaping me? That what appears to be victory for Satan is actually victory for Christ? For the dead in Christ shall rise first. I got to get my head around that, Lord. I got to get my head around that. I don't want to hear that. Oh, somebody here, Lord, has been complaining. Somebody has felt inconvenienced. You've got a card. It should be there in the pew or given to you when you came in church. Take the card out. Take the card out. First thing I'm concerned about is, did you get the message? Did you really get the message today, and you want to claim that? You check that for me right now. So I want you to hand the card in. I want to see that you got it. I'll be looking at the cards. Second gets bigger. Listen, the second gets bigger. I want to become someone that God can trust. Now, saints, listen to me. After I lost my son in death, my wife preached a sermon that would stay with me for the rest of my life. And Sister Wright raised this question. In trial, she said, the issue is not whether you can trust God. The issue is whether God can trust you. That thing has reshaped my life. Got it from my wife. Number two, if you want to become the kind of person that the Lord can allow all hell to break loose and he can trust you with it, you want to be that kind of person, you check number two. Don't check it lightly now. Don't check it lightly now. Do not check that lightly. There's some folk that can testify. Abraham, give me your only son. Noah, I'm going to take your whole life and context from you. David, I'm going to save you, but I'm going to take your son Absalom from you. Can God trust you with trouble? Number three, you just need prayer. And number four, if today you would surrender your life to Jesus, sign up for Bible study or baptism, I want you to check that right now. And when the deacons come to receive the offering, put that card in the offering. Y'all get it? I'll call you. We'll talk. So right now, take care of your card business. Take care of your card business right now. And don't be light about it. Don't be light about it. Now, Father, I offer these precious souls to you. It's been a good day for us. And I beg you, Lord, to be patient with us as you develop us into people who can live through the last days. I want you to be able to trust me, not to complain, not to moan, not to doubt. I want you to be able to trust me. That's a bold prayer to pray. And for that soul who makes a decision today to go all the way in Bible study and baptism, I just want to pray a special prayer for them right now. That you will seal that decision. You'll make sure they hand that card in. today. In Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? God bless you.